Welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me Kendall. Kendall, thanks for joining me today.
Victor, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Dude, of course. Actually, funny story. Well, it's not really a funny story, but I think when I had started this, I had like a list of people I really wanted to like have on here, and I had a list of people that like I saw and I've known for like a long time. Then I had a list of people that I didn't really know too well, but I still wanted to have on here. And one of the reasons why I had you on here was I was just like, this guy, I feel like he just does everything. Like he has all these different talents that I don't know, it's just so cool. And one of my main things that I want to talk about later on today is I think you just posted a bunch of stuff on your Instagram story about like things you were working on. And I was like, that's really cool. That's really cool. Like I want to see like, the inspiration behind that, but we'll get into that later. Yeah. But anyways, how was your first week of school?
It was good. I have one in-person class. I didn't have any in-person last semester. I had one, and I went to it once, and I can't say I'll be going back again. It's not that it was bad. It's just, I walked 25 minutes across campus just to sit, by myself, 6 feet away from everyone, can't talk. I'd rather just save the time and, watch the lecture on the computer. But other than that, going great. I got great professors. I'm super happy about that. But
That's
yeah, what
awesome.
about yourself?
Oh, it's going great. I'm actually not in classes right now. I'm doing a virtual co-op or
Oh,
remote
cool.
co-op.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. It's definitely been different being on like a different schedule than everyone else and figuring out how to do remote work and I guess also staying motivated too, but it is nice like on the weekends I definitely appreciate like having time to sleep in since I have to wake up a lot earlier. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. What's your in-person class?
It is fluid mechanics.
Oh, fluid mechanics.
A good one.
Yeah, dude, I'm not gonna lie, I had to take that class twice. It was a difficult class for me.
Hey, no, it's I get that. I mean, I took it over the summer just to try and get ahead. I was taking like some other courses over the summer, and then I was doing that like the SEC internship, and it just got to a point where it was like, I'm doing so great in all these classes and so bad in this class. I'm just gonna take it with everything else. So IQ dropped it. So this is my, I'm taking it again. But I get it. I get it.
Nah, it's all right. It's okay. Actually, fluid mechanics was like the first mechanical engineering class that I ever dropped. And when I first dropped it, I knew that unless I had taken a class over the summer, like it was going to push me back a semester. And I was really worried because I wasn't failing the class, but I was pretty much borderline C, borderline failing. And so it was kind of like a difficult decision because before that, I'd always been on track with everyone in my class. And now, like, people were going to be taking classes without me. And I felt like I was going to be really far behind. And it, like, kind of hurt my ego for, like, a little bit. But I realized, like, at the end, it was just for the best. And I couldn't have been happier that I dropped that class.
Yeah, well, that's actually the situation I'm in now. If you don't mind me talking about that, 'cause there's a
Yeah,
cool
sure.
story behind it. But yeah, so kind of last semester, I'm a semester behind now too, and last semester, like right at the beginning of the semester, like right after career fair, about like 2 weeks in, just a lot of incidents started happening in my life, like really big things. And I kind of got to the point where like school was at the bottom of my priorities for like the first time ever, and I ended up having to drop just because I was spreading myself out like too far, too wide, and too thin, like trying to manage all these things, trying to control all these things going on back at home and such. And I realized like, I'm getting decent grades, but I'm not learning. And that's what really scared me. I'm not learning. And I'm a person, I actually enjoy learning. Like this is some really cool stuff. And I wasn't learning. I was just getting the grades. And I knew that, these classes, they build on each other. So, if I try and like fake it all the way through this semester,
That's
next
hard.
semester is just gonna suck. I'm gonna get even more wrecked. So I ended up dropping, and yeah, it hurts. Like it is the biggest like slap in the face, the biggest punch in the gut ever. But it gave me the time to fix the urgent things, right? Some things can be taken later, like classes. Other things are more urgent. And I had to take care of them and got some time to reflect on myself and work some things out. And honestly, I'm not mad at it, you know. I mean, it sucks, it hurts, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm confident with where I'll go in life.
Yeah, and one thing too is like everyone kind of has their own timeline in college, and if it takes a little bit longer, I mean, as long as it's within reason and you're not staying like 5, not 5, like 7 years or something for
Right.
undergraduate,
Right.
like you're fine. Just make sure you're going at your pace. There's no need to rush it. Kind of the whole like learning thing too. You don't want to fake it because then you get into the real world and you don't really have anything to fall back on.
Yeah, and honestly, also, I'm viewing it as, hey, I get another semester to, you know, try an internship and see if this is what I want to do, or maybe I want to try
Yeah.
something else. So,
That's honestly like a huge thing is like having that extra summer. It's super nice to have. Yeah.
you know, I've just started to view all the positives about it, so I honestly no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah. Was it like multiple classes that you were struggling with then? Like just all around?
Yeah, I remember fluid mechanics and what was it, 363, that class. Those two were the big ones. But just all around. And it was also, again, like I knew that I was not giving any time towards school, like trying to, you know, deal with other things. So I was like, I'm not gonna try and fake this. I physically, humanly cannot do this. I can't sustain this.
Exactly. Yeah. Since we're talking about mechanical engineering and all that, why don't you tell me like why you chose mechanical engineering?
Yeah, and so this also kind of ties into like all the stuff that I create. Someone asked me this question somewhat recently. I don't remember who. Like, you know, why do I make the things that I make? And I used to just say, you know, I just think it's fun. But I started to think about it, and there actually is a story behind it, which is kind of cool. So when I was, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years old, my parents, you know, they're both working, you know, all day long, so they would send me to like these summer camps, you know, just to keep me busy while they're working. And one of these summer camps, they had like a, it was like a, you know, a science Thursday, or like one day of the week, they do like some kind of science fun learning activity type thing, just to, you know, teach the kids a little bit. And the theme of this one week was engineering. And what happened was they had these little, you know, kits, and in the kit it had a paper plate, a red Solo cup, a few paper clips, a rubber band, a few popsicle sticks. A propeller like on a toy helicopter, and some tape. And they gave these kits to everyone. And what you were supposed to do is you could fashion the things. You can get the paper clip and unbend it, and you can wind it up with the rubber band and tape it to the cup and attach the propeller to it, and basically create like a little like windmill. Like you can wind up the propeller, and the rubber band would, you know, it would wind up and then it would spin, right? You're just supposed to do that. It was apparently incredibly obvious, and you'd be an absolute moron to not do it. And everyone around me did that. Everyone around me created this perfect little, you know, spinning propeller thing. But I didn't realize that. I totally didn't realize that. What I did was I created a bug catcher, and I cut the cup in half, and I created like this. You fold the plate in half, you tape the thing to it, and you could basically catch bugs, and you use like the rubber band to shoot the bugs and all these ridiculous things. You know, I'm 5 or 6 years old, so my imagination's running wild. And so I make this bug catcher, and I'm so happy with it. I'm thinking I'm gonna go catch some bugs outside or something like that. And I look up, and everyone's got this thing that's way cooler than me. They've got a freaking spinning propeller thing. And I was so furious. Like, how did I not think of this? But then, you know, we have this like little outside playtime at this little camp, and I bring my bug catcher device out there, and because I was so furious, I have to prove these people wrong. I have to prove that like my invention was way better than theirs. And I take it outside, and I caught this little like June bug with it, and I was showing it off to all my friends. And like that was that moment where I was like, there's no wrong answer. Like you can make whatever you want, right? And you know, thinking outside the box is, you know, you can always get some really wild results doing that. And so that's kind of the story of how I just, you know, started to like to make things. Part of it was just, you know, proving people wrong that my, you know, my invention worked too. But yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and then I guess to answer your question about mechanical engineering, that just continued to build. So, you know, I would do, you know, little, you know, those basic like child learning kits, right? parents get for you, and then start to do my own projects after I learned enough from those. And then it just got to the point where everyone in my family, all my cousins and all that, they're like, you should be a mechanical engineer. And so I just heard mechanical engineer for like 10 years before college. So I just had it set in my mind that I'm going to be a mechanical engineer. And I had, reasonable skill sets to do it. And for being honest, I did want to make some good money. So
Yeah, that always helps.
if I can do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So now I'm here.
You honestly might be one of the few people I've talked to who came into college knowing they wanted to do mechanical engineering for like an extended period of time. Like, I think that's really cool too, because a lot of people I hear, including me, we talk about I chose this because it's the most broad and I don't know what I want to do. But I think that's super cool that like you had actual like passion of building things and creating different things, and that kind of translated to you picking this major. So I think that's awesome.
Well, yeah, and I did pick it, but also, I still question it, right? It's not like I know exactly what I want to do, because I'm also someone, I love to see a project, go from start to finish, and I'm really controlling, and I like to be the person who does the entire project. So, I do question it sometimes, like, do I have the patience to, just kind of sit and just work on this one small part of a large project? I'm a much more hands-on person. Like, where do I want to take this degree? So, I guess I knew about it, but in terms of really what I want to do with it, I'm still in the dark.
Any of like anybody in your life that was an engineer that like you looked after, or were you kind of the first person or looked up to, but were you like kind of the first person in your like family or nearby like close friends that was an engineer? I don't even know if that made sense.
No, not at all. No, both my parents were, kind of finance related. All my cousins are all, I don't even know what they do. They just nothing big. Like no one knew anything about engineering. No one really helped me. I just had a passion for it. I just loved to do it. And I mean, my parents, they were both really big supporters in my journey. They would take me like to Radio Shack, when I was in like third grade. And the people there, they'd ask my parents like, "Oh, do you need help with anything?" And it's like, "Oh no, it's actually my kid who needs help." And they're looking at this little third grader, and I'm like, "Yeah, I need this, I need this," and all this. My parents were very supportive and just helping me, get the materials needed to do some of the stupid, wacky projects I like to do.
Yeah, so I feel like this type of like interest that you got at a young age, kind of as you grow older and get into high school, you start like I guess cultivating it. So when you were in high school, did you have like were you part of any sort of engineering organization or club?
Yeah, so my high school, so first of all, there were my high school was one of the few high schools that like started to introduce like these engineering classes. This was kind of new at the time. And so I started to learn, 3D modeling and all these different CAD softwares starting like my sophomore year. And like there was like this engineering teacher, and he bought like a 3D printer and all this stuff. And that's also that really boosted me, and I got a 3D printer, inspired by that. There really weren't any clubs I was too interested in. I never really liked robotics that much, but we did some robotics in some of these engineering classes. And then one thing I did do though is and this is I love telling this story. So my senior year, the my environmental science teacher, it's already a pretty easy class, but he said that he's going to be retiring as a teacher. That was his last year, and he was one of those teachers that everyone loved him. Great teacher. And he said he's going to be retiring to open up a like a tutoring center like that. He said that was his real dream, not just teaching one subject, but teaching like all kinds of subjects. And he said he showed us this video. It was a TED Talk in class, and it was about this dude from MIT who created this thing called a food computer. And basically, what a food computer is, it's just basically this greenhouse that's completely controlled by computers. And it has all these different things that control, how a plant grows. So like, they can adjust the water that the plant is growing in, the amount of fertilizer, the temperature, the air, the humidity, right? It can track and control all these different variables that affect a plant's growth, and essentially optimize a plant's growth. So you can get, and this is ideal for, like crops. You can get, crops grown in like half the time once you optimize it. And he showed us this video. kind of early on in the beginning of the school year, he said, "If someone can make me this, I'll give you an A in the class." And instantly I'm like, okay, I'm doing no work in this class. I'm making this thing. And it's still on my resume today. I made it, like, it took me, just about all semester, and I made, a cheaper version than what MIT had. They had a bit more funding. But I made a cheaper, smaller version for his learning center that he opened up, and it worked pretty well. It wasn't perfect, but it worked pretty well. It looked really good. And I did zero work in that class. I did not show up to the tests. I did not do any of the homework, and that was a big risk. Like, I could have, done it just to stay safe, but I was pretty confident that I could make it. And I gave it to him the day before graduation. Like, I finished it the day before graduation.
Oh my
And
goodness.
I sent him an email. I was like, "Hey, can you change all my zeros to an A?" And I looked in the grade book the next morning, and I had 100 in the class. It was the best feeling ever.
That's crazy. Were you the only person that had attempted it?
Well, yeah, so he offered this to everyone, and a lot of people, we formed a team at first, but a lot of people dropped out really quickly. They lost interest really quickly, and you could tell they were just doing it just because they wanted to try and get, a free 100. But they were not putting in any effort. They weren't contributing, so they didn't get it.
So this team kind of broke up and it just was you at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, I tried my very best. I'm aware that I can be kind of controlling sometimes, but I did try my best, like, give them work and, delegate tasks and whatnot. But, they just weren't responding. They weren't showing up to meetings. They were just so irresponsible. We got to a point where it's like, okay, y'all are holding the process back. You don't want this.
Wow. That is crazy. I feel like if I was in your situation, I'd be like, sounds like a cool idea in theory, but I don't like know if I could do that. So major props, especially what you said, like sophomore year that was.
Well, that was my junior year, that
Your
or
junior.
my senior year, right? So also, if I failed the class, it's senior year. I'm already in a college, right? But yeah.
That's awesome. Do you feel like was that like your first like big like thing that you made?
Yeah, that was the first, much bigger project, and also the first project I'd say that really integrated, a whole lot of different disciplines, right? I had to get manufacturing and electronics and coding down, and I mean, obviously I had a lot of resources on the internet and such to refer to, but really cool experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And then you come into college and you're already kind of set on like you want to do mechanical engineering. And so freshman year, I don't know like how the engineering like freshman engineering was for you, but for us, we had to do all of these like different projects where we physically built things. Did you have that same experience your freshman year, or was it? I think they changed it a little bit.
Yeah, I think they did. No, are you talking about the second semester? Was it, 'cause I remember first semester, the only like engineering class I think I took was like the coding class, Engineering 102 or whatever, 101, 102.
So like our first semester and second semester, we both had to build like we had to build something. The first semester was like this, I guess, robot controlled through LabVIEW that like basically has this laser pointer and it like stays on a table or a line. And the second one was the second semester was a Marvel sort of project. But I don't know if you had like any project where you had to build something like that your second semester.
No, I think those were phased out because I very explicitly remember the marble sorter. Like, I remember seeing them like in the room, right? But we didn't do them. Those were phased out.
So there was just nothing in the second semester.
It was kind of like from what I remember. Okay, my memory of college is so bad. I'm so bad at remembering what course was what. But if I remember correctly, it was kind of like almost like a statistics mixed with coding. Like, I remember we did like, it was like mean 260, like we did like some of the T tables and stuff
Oh
like that.
goodness.
Really early on. That's a, yeah, that's great. But I really don't remember physically building anything.
All right. Well, what is something that like you've built that you're really proud of, or something that I guess a lot of people wouldn't think is interesting, but like you find really interesting?
That's a good one. So actually, probably the desk I'm in right now. So w when I'm working, I really enjoy being boxed in. What I mean by that is I have walls on both sides of me and above me. I like to feel like I'm in a very small, cramped space. Like not cramped, but a small enclosed space. That's a better way to put it. I really enjoy that feeling, right? Because it keeps me locked in. Like there's nothing to look to my left, to my right? It's just a wall. And so about a little over a year ago, my parents bought a house here in College Station, and it didn't come with any furniture. And so I had a bedroom that was completely empty. It had no furniture. And also with this house is a big workshop that came with a lot of scrap wood. And so you know what I'm thinking? And this is also right around winter break. So all the stars aligned for me to literally design my room from scratch and build all the furniture for it. My first thing I did was this desk. And so it's this really, big desk, got walls on each side, and the walls are made of what's it called? They're made of glass, and I painted the back of the glass white, so it's a whiteboard. So every surface is a whiteboard. And then there's one and a half walls that are pegboard, and I have all these pegs, and I can, peg all these different instruments or not instruments, tools, tape, all that stuff. I can peg them on the wall for easy access. And then there's also one side with all these, those tiny little, like really small drawers for, electronics and, spare parts and stuff like that. But it's so functional. It's got everything that I need. I can charge everything. It is the perfect desk for me. It fits perfectly in this room. I'm so happy with it. I'm very happy with it. Other people see and it's like, that's a pretty ugly desk. Like, it's my desk and I'm incredibly happy with it.
And like while you're doing that too, like you're not just think like using like mechanical engineering skills, but like you got to think about appearance a little bit too, you know? And there's like all these different factors. It might not be like the most aesthetically pleasing desk, but it's still something you have to consider. Like, how does this look to somebody from the outside or something? So, like, it's kind of targeting. I feel like you're just learning a lot while you're building, learning things that like school doesn't teach you, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, the way I kind of cheated that system is, and I mean, people are getting lazy these days. Designers are getting lazy these days. They're going for this flat modern look where everything is just sharp edges and minimal effort, basically. And so since wood, is already cut into, square, rectangular, sharp edges, I just stuck with that. So my desk, it's basically just like a big rectangle. Very simple, very simple. No extra effort, no insane details. Keep it simple and it works.
That's awesome. Something else I wanted to talk about too is you are currently one of the marketing chairs this year for the Student Engineers Council.
I am.
And you guys have done some pretty cool stuff this year, I'm not gonna lie. Like it I've been thoroughly impressed. I've been in SEC since fall 2018, and I've loved all the merch, don't get me wrong, but this year it just feels like a little bit like a step above the rest. So I was just wondering like what you guys do is just like marketing chairs, and I feel like a lot of marketing is it's like probably the least engineering position that I see it like I compared to the other like SEC stuff, but I feel like it teaches you like way more collectively. So kind of just talk about your experience.
Yeah, so I applied because I'm pretty good at graphic design. I don't want to go off on an insane tangent here, but I became good at graphic design in high school. I took this blow-off course to learn, how to use Photoshop, and there was this, one of those like teachers in training or whatever. She wasn't like the official teacher of the class, but she was there, and she kind of, took the wheel a lot of times, and I would show her these just really wild things that I created. They weren't even that great, but she really seemed to pick on me because, I mean, I like art, right? And so I would try to explain to her like all these abstract things that I made, and she would always say, "No, it's too abstract. I don't like it." And she hated me. And it's not like I was a bad student. She just didn't like my art. And I'm like, "How the hell do you not like art? It's art. Like you can choose how you like it." I was
Exactly.
real,
It's
and so,
subjective.
yeah, exactly. And so I became very good at it out of my frustration for this teacher in training, and I basically proved her wrong at the end. She kept trying to find ways to shut down my designs, but no, I ended up proving her wrong. I started, learning it at home, and like really ended up loving the class. But yeah, so I had that graphic design experience already there, and I found myself, I was in the marketing committee before, right, but when I joined, and a lot of my work was heavily used, and so for me it was a no-brainer to go for the chair. And one thing I teach that we teach the committee, it's about creativity, and we're using a quote here from the late great Steve Jobs. He says that good artists copy, great artists steal, and he stole this quote from Pablo Picasso. So, and the whole thing is like everyone thinks that people either are or are not creative, like you're just born with it. Really, creativity is just taking things that you see and just using them in your own way, right? So for instance, if you want to bring up what's it called, the member shirts, right, with that cool design on the back, we just took that big sculpture from the Equad, and we said, hey, we're just going to use this, it looks cool, it's ours now. And yeah, actually, and fun story about that, we because the dude who created it, his name is Oliver Eliasson. He's this really big contemporary artist, actually. He's very famous. And we emailed his studio to ask permission, and Ryan and I, we were so happy when they emailed back, like, no way, they looked at us. Oh. And then in the email, when they gave us permission, they said, also send us a copy of what it looks like so we can put it in our archive. And we were just like, we were like little teenage girls. We were so happy. And now Ryan and I, we both love this man so much, this artist. He's so cool. He has a lot of cool stuff. But yeah, that's what we do. We just steal things that are cool and use them for ourselves.
Dude, honestly, like when you said that quote, it just made me think of Mean 210 because we had like this design project and I kept trying to think of ideas. It was like designed for the aging population. And I was like, I need to come up with something completely new that nobody has ever thought about. And then the more I went through it, I was like, why not just look at something that currently exists and change it a little bit? Like, it doesn't need to be a whole brand new change. It just needs to be slightly better than what it currently does, you know? And that's a really good quote. I really liked it.
Yeah, and also, I mean, when you think about it, a lot of people try so hard to just make something like from scratch, and there's just as big of an opportunity to make something just better. I mean, like look at Starbucks. Like Starbucks didn't they didn't invent coffee. They just made the user experience a little cooler by calling out your name, right? And now they charge you $5 for a coffee. So just goes to show what you can do by just changing things a little bit.
Exactly. How has been like being like a leader in this like huge organization been when like you can't really interact with your committee members in person and you can't really get to know them? Like how is that? And then like interacting with all the other people on EC and EB, like how's just that been socially for you?
So with regards to our members, we try and have, and this is something that we're working on. We actually, Ryan and I, we just had a, what's it called, EC retreat earlier today, and Ryan and I are going to meet tomorrow as well to discuss this. But we try and have, a few meetings with our committee, and we try and keep them short to be respectful of everyone's time. We're all engineers. We all have important things to do, but we also try and make them our meetings fun and engaging. We try and do things that are, I guess like bonding type things, to try and get to know them. And we try and be, as funny and as open, of an environment as we can. And one thing that we've done, we've created, Ryan and I, we've created a task delegation system to tackle the problem of, because it's really hard to get to know people in this virtual setting, especially new members. And so what we do is, we had a with each member, we met them one on one at the beginning of the semester to figure out, what their interests are and what they want to do in the marketing committee. And we would start to pair people up based on their interests, and then people get to meet each other like that, which was, which was really cool. So, and then in regards to, the rest of, EC, I mean, we were all friends before, before we went virtual. It's not a problem at all. We still see each other and whatnot, but I don't know. I think SEC as a whole has done a great job transitioning online, and I really hope we can go back in person very soon. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. No, I was about to say, like, I think in my like evaluation for like Ashley and Dean, I was like, they've been doing an amazing job. And honestly, like, just everyone in leadership positions have done a great job, I feel, in making it feel as normal as possible, given all of ours, given like the restrictions. And I think it's really good too that you guys did like your one-on-ones. I think that's super important when you can't meet people face to face, and like just getting that one-on-one time with people, or those two-on-one times or whatever, and then like actually like following up on that, and not just like, oh, we did our one-on-one, like check that off the list, like just don't worry about them anymore. But like continuing to like make those relationships. I feel like it's really good for like the new member experience for them to like, you know, we can't really hang out in person as much, but like these people care about me, and it makes me just that much more excited to go back in person.
Yeah. And then also one thing that I'm so happy with is engineering apparel, right? I mean, obviously we used to sell them like, during e-week, and we just camp out, right outside Zach and just sell them there. And we'd have to buy, however many shirts ahead of time and hope that we can sell them all or whatever. But now we've moved it to an online format, and CC Creations, they have a great platform to do this with. And so we've been able to do these really big rollouts of engineering apparel to the entire college, and we've seen great numbers. We have more than doubled the amount of sales that we normally get just from one semester. And the part that I like so much about this is that our members have made those designs, and we have more designs from our members for the next engineering apparel rollout. And getting to see their designs, like seeing how it started and helping them a little bit, tweaking here and there, and like it's their work, and it gets sold to hundreds of students, and that makes me so happy. And being able to give them credit, during executive announcements and saying like, so and so made this shirt, huge shout out to them, applause for them. That feels so great and so rewarding.
Dude,
I love that
that's
feeling.
like a proud dad moment.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we take away all this engineering, we take away like you liking to build all this stuff. Like, who's Kendall like at the core?
Well, I don't know if this is the correct answer to your
Hey,
question, but
there's no correct answer here.
if you took away engineering, well, first of all, I'm still really, passionate about art and creating things. I think that would never go away. But another thing I'm interested in is psychology and neurochemistry and kind of how the brain works.
Me
I
too.
think it's so fascinating. It's not, there's not a lot of money to be made there usually. And it's not my fullest passion, but I still think it's really interesting. That's something about me. But I'm just a curious person. I love to make things. Did that answer your question? If you
No,
want to
it didn't.
drill, if you want to dig deeper, please do.
I definitely will. And actually, I'm going to start off with this whole psychology thing. This might not be like, this is more like kind of a personal growth, but I kind of relate it to psychology. I remember like my junior, sophomore year to junior year was when I started looking into like Enneagram and like Myers-Briggs and all that, and kind of reading about all these different types of personality. And I remember taking the test, and like they told me I'm like this. And I remember reading it, and I was like, I've never felt like I've read myself off a piece of paper, like off a website before, but like this description fits me so well. And it just made me that much more interested in like what's like the true motivation behind like my actions, or like why do I react this way when something happens? And you know, it might not be exactly like what happens between like neurons in the brain and whatnot, but that's kind of like something that I've always like really wanted to get into.
Yeah, no, it really is fascinating. And I actually have a really cool and very recent story about that, actually. So, when I had to drop my classes this past semester, obviously that totally screwed me up. And also, quick backstory, before that, I knew that I used to be very, all throughout middle school, high school, and first 2 years of college. I had very like linear thinking, right? Like I could only see like one foreseeable path to go down. And so, that's why I was a very controlling person, right? Like if things aren't going the way I expect them to, I try and control them, like kind of into place. And it was very strict, but it totally worked, right? It gave me a very clear vision as to what I want to do. And it kept me motivated. It got me great results in school and extracurriculars and all this stuff. But Victor, you know that voice in the back of your head that's always right? Yeah, and you know how it's so easy to ignore it? So that voice in the back of my head, it always said, like, hey, this is a ticking time bomb. Like there is going to be a time where, too many things get out of control and you're not gonna be able to control them and you're not gonna know what to do with yourself. And obviously that happened, right? That ticking time bomb exploded this past semester, right? I'd always told myself, I'm going to go to college for 4 years, not a semester more. I'm going to get in and out as quick as possible and start my job as soon as possible, nothing else. Well, guess what just happened? And so, during this time, when I got to I had a little bit of time to, after I settled all these things down, I got to reflect on myself. I said, I can't go back to school the same person, or else this is going to happen again. And I mean, I wish it didn't happen, but thankfully it happened during school, right? This could have happened during like work or during a marriage or something, right? So I'm very thankful I got the opportunity to address this this very restrictive mindset earlier on. And so I had, a baseline knowledge of psychology and how the brain works. I'm no expert, but I'd say I know more than the average man. And that's a brag, but I kind of started looking through all these books to try and, figure out like where to start, what to do. And the reason that it's so hard to like change things, and the reason kind of how the brain works is there's this one protein in your brain, and it wraps every time you do something, it wraps around those connections in your brain and makes those connections stronger. And every time you do that thing again and again and again, the protein wraps around more and more connections, and it becomes easier and easier to do things, right? Like you play piano, right, Victor? And I'm sure there are some songs you can play without even thinking about it, right? Yeah, it's just because you've done it so many times, your brain just wants to make its job as easy as possible, and it'll do that with, again, with these proteins. They wrap around these connections and make it as easy as possible. And unfortunately, it doesn't care if it's a good or a bad habit, right? Your brain only wants to do this for itself, right? So that's how bad habits form too. And so this kind of very restrictive mindset of mine was a bad habit, effectively. And I had to kind of unwrap and undo, I guess, 8 years or so of this mindset. And when I was looking at, like how do I unlearn something, right? Because before I could learn something, I had to unlearn this. I was looking at how to unlearn something, and one of the first things that popped out to me was psychedelic drugs. And I know that sounds crazy, right? The public reaction, the general reaction to, psychedelic drugs is it's like, oh my God, those things are, they're addictive, they ruin your life, you're turns your brain to mush, right? Very negative reactions. But in a lot of these books that I've read, when they're brought up, they're brought up in a very positive way. And usually when they're brought up, they're mentioning, these clinical trials in the 50s and 60s, and where they were trying to use, and this is when these drugs were kind of just discovered. They're trying to use these drugs to treat and to cure a wide range of psychological conditions. More minor things like anxiety and depression to much more severe things like lifelong smoking habits or PTSD or lifelong alcoholism. And even though, these result or these trials were kind of short-lived just because the drugs became illegal shortly after, the results were incredible right off the bat. You were seeing, success rates, upwards of like 60, 70, 80% after just like, one use of the drug, which is, three, four times greater success rates than all the other methods, right? And like to really emphasize how incredible this is, like, Victor, can you think, even with like modern medicine, modern technology, something that can get someone who's been smoking cigarettes for 30 years to stop by the end of the day, have no withdrawal symptoms, and not relapse?
Yeah, that's insane.
No, but these were able to do that. Like by the end of the day, they just walk home. It's like, yeah, I'm never touching cigarettes again. And so that seed was kind of planted in my brain that these drugs are incredibly powerful at changing the mind very rapidly. And so I thought to myself, No, I'm not going to take the drug. I'm thinking, how can I replicate or emulate these results without taking it, right? Because I don't want to glorify them. They're not a fix-all, right? They can go horribly wrong if not used properly. But how can I try and emulate this? And so I really started to look into this, and I looked into kind of two main things. I tried to look into what chemically happens in the brain on the drugs, and what like a first-hand experience from the people who used it with the intention to heal themselves. Like, why do they think it worked? And I started looking into those two things. And so chemically, kind of what happens is, so there's four main psychedelic drugs, and they are all very similar in molecular structure to one another, and they're also very similar molecular structure to serotonin. And that's a very a very common chemical that's found in your brain. And they're so similar in molecular structure to serotonin that they can actually bind to serotonin receptors in your brain. And so on these psychedelic drugs, you're basically on this serotonin overload. And serotonin, it's like the peace of mind kind of drug. It's like a calmness kind of drug. It's like the at home, safe, feeling. That's kind of what that is, right? And so basically on these psychedelic drugs, their brain is just on serotonin overload. And the walls of reality, right? All the barriers, all the rules to reality just suddenly go away because you're so at peace and you just feel so safe. You forget about reality and you have this new perception. And this is what the firsthand experience from a lot of these users was, is that, they, for the first time in their life, they got to perceive things in a new way, right? People who've been, have these really bad habits, they've, pigeonholed themselves into this one, mindset, this one perception. And taking these drugs allowed them to finally view things differently. And basically, this just totally jogs up the brain. And while your brain is in this exposed state, it can experience things in a much better way. Because, I mean, obviously, if you got a bad habit you want to break, just about anything, any mindset will be better than break the bad habit, right? And when your brain finds something that's more pleasurable than what's in place, well, it's going to hold on to that. And to kind of illustrate this, right? Like, Victor, have you ever dreamed of like of something or someone, and then like the next day you're like, that's all you can think about is like that person or that place or that thing? Yeah, it's like that, because you got to experience that. And it's like, huh, I haven't thought about that. I'm thinking about that now. And so that's basically kind of what I did, is I tried to, again, to unwrap my brain, to first unlearn, is I tried to just totally jog it up by introducing new perceptions. And I did this by trying to make everything I possibly could totally random. So to give you a few examples, again, so like your brain, it really likes predictability. It really likes being able to know, what to expect. And so I had to fight my brain. So a few things I did, music. For like 2 to 3 weeks, I did not listen to any music that I knew. I only listened to new music, new album each day. With food, I try to eat a different meal every single day. And although that's not really healthy and sustainable long term, it was okay for this experiment. But I threw that off, right? I'm used to a very strict meal plan, right? But I threw that off. Let's see, exercise. I would exercise at random points for random lengths of time at random intensities throughout the day. Work. Like I said, I've got my desk here. It's designed for work, but since the thoughts associated with work are associated with this desk, also my old mindset is associated with this desk. So I had to work at a different point. Every time I got on my computer, I would work at a different point in the house. I would do these stupid breathing techniques that just made me feel really stupid and lightheaded. I would do everything I possibly could. Oh, and I skipped this, the food part. I would also try to eat foods that would naturally release serotonin. And with exercise, I would always do some kind of exercise that re released serotonin. So I try to do all these serotonin enriching activities and just make everything as random as possible to just completely blindside my brain. So I did this for like 2 or 3 weeks, and I try my best to not focus on, like, is it working? Is it working yet? I try to not focus on that.
Like, just do it.
And then it just kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, Now I think that it's kind of working. Like I feel really weird. I feel kind of different. I haven't met, I noticed that I don't have that normal mindset. And so now that my brain's kind of, it's open, it's unraveled. Now is the time when it's, now is the time to take advantage and set these new habits in place. And then for the next, 2 weeks or so, I try and set these newer habits in place. And I gotta say, it worked pretty well. The really the biggest takeaway from all this is that you are not your brain. Like, you are not your brain. So many people think that the way you feel is your fault, right? Especially, in the case of people like with depression or anxiety, they think that what they're feeling is them. It's not them, it's their brain, but they think that it's them, so they blame themselves. It's not them, it's your brain. Your brain, just like everything else in your body, it's an organ, and it's going to work whether or not you want it to, right? You have no control over how it works, but what you do have control over is what you can put into it, right? So again, a lot of people think that what they're feeling, what they're thinking, everything going on, they think it's their fault. It's not. It's their brain's fault, and it's amazing. You can change it just by changing what you put into your brain. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that the more conventional and traditional solutions for fixing your brain, things like therapists or psychiatrists or prescribable medication, like they think like those are the best solutions, but they're really not. They don't work that well. But yeah, that was a very cool experience, a little self experimenting.
No, yeah, for sure. And you said it wasn't like you said it was like, oh, some of this wasn't like sustainable. So like after that experiment, when you're trying to change your mindset, how did you continue to like retain everything that you had learned and retain like the mindset shift, even though you might not have been doing the same exact things as you had been doing earlier?
So the reason is, again, like I said, it's hard to change because you remember those protein that wraps around the connections, right? When you have those things like so locked in place, that's why it's hard to change things. That's why it's hard. You can't just, will yourself a new mindset, right? You have to first break those old things. And so once all those, old connections were broken, it's really easy to form whatever you want. And so I mean, it was a lot easier. Because that's the thing with building a new habit. The hardest part is breaking the old habit, not building the new habit. And a lot of people think it's a lack of, discipline or whatever because they can't build this new habit. No, the hard part is breaking the old habit. And that was the hard part. Once I got the hard part out of the way, the getting rid of the old mindset, the new part was pretty easy because there was no, baseline to refer to, right? There was no nothing to break. Everything's already broken and exposed and ready to be connected, right? So that was actually pretty easy.
Is it safe to say that like even now you're still working on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not, this didn't make me like, programmable. I'm not like a total machine, right? But it did help me break, some of these bad mindsets. And also one thing I really noticed is it really worked with like empathy. I'm much more understanding of like different perceptions and different viewpoints that people may have. And yeah, that was kind of another takeaway, I guess. But yeah, I'm a lot happier with where I am now, I'll tell you that for sure.
That's really good to hear. Yeah. I feel like, there's always this like you always go through certain things in college that like trigger something bigger to change and then cause you to like shift. And for you it might have been like realizing that you can't control everything and that like things aren't always going to be going as according to plan as we thought about it. And like same with me too with the whole like dropping not dropping no, I was about to say dropping out just dropping a class. And so I think it's really cool that like you've been able to like grow in that like grow through that and then like even now it's not like something that just happened to you and you forget about it, but it's like sustained, like this is important and I need to continue like remembering that like I need to think this way. Like my mindset can't change just because, times are different. Like I need to keep this mindset going.
Yeah, and obviously it's not like, I mean, I'll still feel the same emotions I did before. Like, it's not like I'm always happy, right? But it's just like, I have a better way of dealing with things now, and in a weird way, it's like a type of faith almost. It's like I have more faith in myself, that I can handle things better.
What about something like obviously when COVID hit and you like there's we really don't have a lot of control over a lot of things, especially from that like March through like June, July period. How did that affect you?
Actually, I honestly prospered, because again, I got to spend, all my time here at my parents' house, and they got the workshop and all this stuff. So I was in a, between classes, I was doing, I actually did really great. What's it called? So that was the semester we switched to COVID kind of halfway through. That was the second semester of my sophomore year. I actually did really great that semester. I was really enjoying all my studies. I'm someone who can study alone for an entire semester and be fine. Not that I do bad with people. I just can study by myself. And I'm not one of those, extreme extroverts that like just needs to be around humans, right? I know some people who are like that and they just did awful because they're so used to always being around people. But I was totally fine. I really enjoyed it. And I had plenty of projects keeping me busy, whenever I didn't have school or something else. So I honestly prospered.
No, that's good to hear. Yeah, I was definitely one of those people who I'm not like I guess a lot of people perceive me as super extroverted, but I also enjoy having like alone time. So I actually did a lot better than I guess most extroverted people. But I was just curious because I feel like that time it's such a blur, and like we're coming up on a year now where it's been almost a year since like the lockdown happened, and I feel like there's just in a lot of ways, like it's another area for you to grow too. Like things don't always go your way. Like for me, like my internship was canceled, and that really like threw a wrench in like my plans, and it was really
Right.
tough. So I don't know if anything like that happened to you too.
No, I did the SEC internship. I thought it was awesome. I did a little bit of help in the beginning with like the marketing side of it. So that was pretty cool. And I know it was great. It was really great. And honestly, it's hard to say, I can't compare it to an actual internship. But I would definitely say that I learned some things there that I probably would not have learned, I guess, with an actual internship. And so, I was still really grateful for that. But like I said, I was so busy with, all this free time and a huge workshop at my expense that my mind was probably in a different, a much happier state than a lot of people.
Yeah, for
But
sure. So this is called Victor Zhang's Friends, and I was just curious, like for you, what, like when you're looking for people you want to surround yourself with, like maybe not like a checklist, but like what are certain traits in people that like I guess you admire and respect and you want them to be around you?
that's a good question. I think the first thing that pops into my head, and the way that I kind of analyzed that was I think of all the people that I've met and the people I did like and didn't like. And I think a big thing is just self-awareness, right? There are some people that are just, they're so clueless. They can't read the room. They can't, for the life of them, just kind of understand how they come off to others. And that's definitely really hard to do. It's really hard to get in other people's heads and see, how would they be viewing me if I said this or if I did this. And it's not that, I want people to be super self-conscious, but also, some people, for example, some people just like to ramble on about things I don't care about. Some people are too quiet, and there's just a lot of different things that people aren't aware of themselves. I think people who have just a level head, kind of right around my level of awareness, those are the people I usually bond with the best. Another thing is, I would say respect. I was going to say intelligence, but that's not. It was more so respect. By intelligence, I meant like people smarts more so. But respect, really. People who have respect for themselves, respect for others, that's a big one. And it shows. And sometimes it takes a while for that to show, right? And also a lot of people, they put up they put their masks on, they put on a facade of who they want me to think that they are, right? But
Right.
it always ends up showing in the end who people are. And I think the third thing definitely is people who talk ideas. I can go for hours and hours and hours with people who talk about ideas. Those are definitely my favorite kinds of people. People who can both, give me their own ideas and also listen to mine, and we can, reciprocate and bounce ideas off each other. Those are the best. Those are the best.
Yeah. No, that's I've always like been curious because I know like everyone kind of has like different preferences and different things they look for. And honestly, like I feel like perceptions of like what we want in a friend evolve over time too. And so like coming into college freshman year versus like where you are now, I feel like what you looked for in a friend maybe your freshman year might have been different now. Whereas like freshman year for me, I was always how many people can I meet? How many like people do I know? And now it's more like, okay, like the depth of the friendship, like if I just have 100 surface level friendships, I couldn't do that. Like I don't like that. But if like I have people who like I can get into varying levels of depth with them, like that's honestly something that I really enjoy too, is like being able to have those like in like deep conversations and not just talk about, oh, how's your day going? Good. And then like you struggle to think about something to talk about,
Yeah, that's one more thing I want to add is people who can, kind of hit it off right off the bat, right? Like I know one of my friends right now. I met him I don't remember which semester, but it was during sophomore year. I just remember it was like the first or second day of class or something like that, and I just said like some, stupid comment about the professor, right? Like I don't know, maybe making fun of their appearance or their organizational skills or something stupid, just some, snarky little comment. And then they laughed at that and then said something right back, like immediately matching that energy, right? People who can, just hit it off right off the bat, they don't just kind of, there's a lot of people, especially in engineering, like you'll try and do some little small talk with them and they'll just be like, yeah, okay. And that's it.
That's
Like they don't talk,
it,
they don't continue it. They're just like, oh, okay. And yeah, there's people who can continue it and match that energy. That's a big one.
Exactly, yeah. Any goals for 2021?
Well, one of my goals was to read a lot more, to read either a book a week or every other week, and just because I don't think I don't even think I finished a book in 2020. Yeah, I definitely want to do a lot more of that. I'm already a little bit behind schedule, but that's okay. I'd rather, come short of my goal than just not read any books at all. And also exercise, physical exercise has been, I've been doing very good with eating healthy and sleeping healthy. I just have not been really moving healthy. So I want to get in a little bit more exercise. But other than that, yeah, I'm pretty perfect. Nothing else to change. I'm joking.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, what about yourself?
Yeah. So one of my things is I definitely want to like document more about like things that made me happy every single day. And some people did like the whole 1 second a day, but something about holding a phone and recording makes it seem like disingenuous, like not genuine.
Yeah.
And so kind of I have a calendar and at the end of every single day, I just write down things that made me happy. And some days it's like two things, some days it's like five or six. But just doing that because it really helps me remember like little moments that I'll probably forget like by next week. And so like that's definitely a big thing. And then I think just another one too is, and I feel like this is such like a, oh, Victor's like a senior, even though he's graduating like spring 22, he's like a senior right now and like last semester vibes, everyone's like, oh, like say yes to more things, but I just wanted like do more random things that like I probably wouldn't really want to do. And this is gonna sound like super dumb, but for example, I usually go to the grocery store by myself. But now I usually just ask some like one of my friends, I'm like, hey, like someone I haven't seen in a while, like, hey, what are you doing? And I'll just be like, you want to go grocery shopping with me for like 20, 30 minutes? And like, I like doing a lot of things like that alone, like working out alone too. But as you know, that's my alone time, but it's nice to like break out of that comfort zone. I feel like it'll help me create like more memories too. So Those are kind of like my like main goals right now.
That's cool. And can I say something real quick? So you have like a little like 45-second intro for this podcast describing why you're doing this, and it was along the lines of like, photos are good at retaining memories, but you said like your best memories are in conversation, and that's why you're doing this podcast. Is that correct? That I think that's so brilliant. That's so amazing. And that's why I texted you to be on this, because like that's a very noble reason. But one more thing though. So I've been keeping a dream journal, keeping track of my dreams, and it's actually very fascinating. Two things I noticed. One is that once you start tracking them, you become very good at remembering them. And so like, when you wake up and you're like, darn it, I had such a good dream, but I can't remember it, but I just know it was good. Okay. I can remember my dreams in like so much detail now. It's so cool.
That's awesome.
But also, with dreams, and this is one of those things that it's like, it's so hard to study this. It's more so theory than fact as of now. But a lot of people think, a lot of scientists think that, a lot of things that go on in your dreams, it's like your subconscious. It's that voice in the back of your head, right? And so if you can, like the things that happen in your dreams, a lot of times it relates to things that go on in real life. And when you record these things, you might realize like, oh, like I didn't even think about that. Right? It's those things that you forget about and your brain will bring it up. And so it can actually be really helpful, right? And so like, for example, I think last night, I was, I had, I dreamed that I found my Diary of a Wimpy Kid book, right? The very first one, with the red cover.
Yep, the
And
red one.
on the inside of it, because I remember I got this at, you remember those Scholastic book
Yes, the book
fairs?
fairs,
Yeah. And I remember my mom gave me, money to buy it, right? And I remember on the inside, and this isn't how my actual book is, but in my dream, on the inside, I wrote a thank you note to my mom, thanking her for buying the book for me, basically. And then, when I woke up, I'm like, huh, I haven't really, shown a whole lot of appreciation to my mom lately, right? Like things like that, like they just kind of remind you of things. And I think that's really cool. So
Dude,
it's
that's
not hard to do. It's really fun.
right. That's so cool. Like I've always wanted to like keep track of my dreams. I feel like some dreams I have like that are reoccurring that I just have never written down, but whenever like I enter the dream, I'm like I've definitely been here before. And like some dreams I like dream of people that I've seen or people that I've like been friends with for a long time. That is something that if I could know more about, like I would love to, like being able to even like record dreams. That'd be so cool. I didn't.
I was actually just writing down to go grocery shopping with people. That was a really cool idea. Yeah.
It's just a little something, you know. It's just a little
Yeah.
something. But this dream journal, you said this was something that you wanted to do or like you have been doing.
Oh no, I've been doing it. I've been doing it for about a month. It was really hard at first, just because
It's hard to
it's
remember.
it is hard to remember at first, but you actually become better at doing it. And also just the habit of like as soon as you wake up doing it, it's amazing how much it helps. And also you can look, the cool thing is you can also like reread, from from like a month ago, but you remember that picture so vividly, which is also really cool. It's very
Have you
cool.
had anything that repeats yet?
Yes, not like perfect. Okay, so two things. One of them is I've been going back to my home in Sugar Land a lot. I've been going there a lot, and I think it's just because I know I'm going to be going back there probably next weekend or something like that. So that's probably just one of those thoughts that's just running in my brain. Another one is a road trip, right? I went on a road trip with a few people from SEC over break, and I've had a lot of dreams with road trip, and especially a lot of people from that group. I've had that recurring as well, but those two things have been recurring.
That is awesome. Yeah, I just wrote that down too because I'm actually gonna start. I'm actually gonna start doing this now. I think this is awesome. This is awesome. So I just got one last question for you.
Go.
And question is, out of everything you've learned in college so far, what is something that like what's like a lesson that you've learned that you would want your future self to remember? That's like something you want to hold on to.
Oh man, that's a good one. I would say is keep perspective. It's something that I try and do as frequently as possible, but I know that like once I kind of, I get in like a flow state and I'm like very in the moment, I lose all perspective of everything. That's something I, again, I've been coming, I'm getting better at that. But it's, you have to be very conscious of that. Very aware. Because it's so easy to forget that again, like especially when you're in a flow state, when you're just in the heat of the moment. And it can cause you to, if you forget that, it can cause you to do some pretty, make some pretty stupid, irrational decisions. Yeah, what about you? You're a little bit more experienced in your college career. What about you?
Honestly, it's probably just like don't compare yourself to other people because it could get really bad really quick when you think that you need to do something that somebody else is doing right now. Like it's good to have people to look up to, but like I mean, this goes back to just like the whole dropping a class and not being on time, like not on track with everyone else's. Like you have your own race in college, and somebody else might finish sooner, someone might finish later, or some might finish just on time. But you know, worry about yourself. Honestly, it's almost like being in the gym too. Like somebody might lift this much, but all that really matters is that you're better than the person you were yesterday. And like it's so cliche, but like that's the only person you should really compare yourself to because everyone had different starting points in life and has gone through different things that like cause them to grow in different ways. So like how are you going to compare yourself to someone who's had completely different life experiences than you and expect yourself to be in like the same or different place as them? You know, like it's not fair to you. Like, so that's probably what I'd want to hold on to as well.
Another thing that I've also kind of, I guess, gained perspective on is it's just like the long term. Like, I mean, like I said, like sure, I'm gonna graduate, like 3, 4 months late, whatever, how long a semester is. And like worst case scenario, I retire 3 or 4 months later, right? Like that's not that bad for a, like a, multi-decade career. A few months won't change much. But think about the long run, right? Like don't be in it for the short run. Like just be in it for the long run. It's the small everyday things that really add up, not like the just one big thing at once. That's the hard part. You just have to, have some faith that all these small things that you're doing, even though they don't achieve immediate results, they don't achieve big results, you just have to believe and trust that they're gonna add up to something. But that's another thing that's hard to do.
I agree. Yeah, it's like it's like delayed greatness. You just it's
Delayed
coming.
gratification, yeah.
Delayed gratification. It's coming. Just give it some time. Like keep doing what you're doing. As long as you're like persistent and you keep it up, it's gonna show.
Yeah, and it's not even, and when it doesn't even come though, that's the thing. Like it's so gradual. Only when you look back at things, that's when you realize, oh, okay, I have made it. It doesn't feel like it. It's been such a gradual acclimation that, it never comes. Like a lot of people, myself included, just think that, whatever their goal is in life, it's just gonna happen. But like, it's not such an immediate, instantaneous feeling. It's never gonna be.
Those are awesome. Yeah, so Kendall, thank you so much for joining me again today. Really appreciate it. I'm really glad we were able to have this conversation too. You're on this like you're probably one of the I don't even know how many people from SEC I've had, but there's a lot more people in SEC I want to hit just 'cause like it's such a cool there's so many cool people in it and I just want to get to know a lot more. But I've been wanting to like just talk to you for a long time and never really had like any sort of medium to do so. So this is awesome.
Cool beans, perfect. So I'm really big into music, and I'm curious, Victor, what's your music taste like? I'm always taking suggestions. I'm always listening to new stuff.
I love EDM a lot.
Okay.
And so actually sometime this evening I'll probably just send you a couple of songs. I
Okay.
think are really good that are like my favorites, but I love EDM a lot. I love a lot of pop. and just like songs that you can dance to. Country too. I've gotten into country a lot, but EDM has been like my main source just because someone was telling me the other day, but it's like you don't really need words for the music to be good. You can, it could be literally whatever. It could just be like background vocals that just accompany like the whole like song, or it could just be like no real, no, like maybe like 5 words in the entire song, but it's still good. And so I don't know. I love EDM a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you?
Very cool. Yeah, well, I asked this question because I've taken like a really deep dive into like the world of music lately, just because it's like just when you think you've heard it all, you hear something new. It's like, oh my gosh. And that's what fascinates me and keeps me listening to new music. But I'd say a lot of what I listen to, my favorite genre by far is progressive rock. Bands like Pink Floyd, King Crimson, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Led Zeppelin, yes, all kind of, I love progressive rock so much. Like more alternative rock, like Beatles, U2, Elton John, right? A fair bit of rap, I'm a big Kanye
Yeah,
fan.
Kanye.
Outkast, Playboi Carti, I love Playboi Carti. He gives me so much energy. I only listen to rap when I just need energy. And also some more like avant-garde experimental type music I really love. I've been getting into like vaporwave recently. I've listened to this one album recently. It's called The Mollusk by Ween, and it's like psychedelic sea shanties. It's so bizarre, but I don't know how they pulled it off. It sounds really good. I don't know, there's just so many just really weird albums that I love just because I love trying to figure out like what drove this person to make this? Like it sounds awful. Like it genuinely sounds awful. But why would you make this? And that's half of the art that I like, is just getting in the artist's brain, getting
You
into that.
you'll have to send me a couple of those too. I've never heard any of them, so I'm always into like learning about new music.
Yeah, that's how I am. I'm continuing my trend of listening to new album and music every day, so
I
that's
like
been
it.
something I've enjoyed.
I like it. I like it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Victor, it's been a real privilege. I appreciate it, sir.
Of course, yeah. I will see you guys on our next one.